is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for November 8th, 2019. And great to be back behind the microphone. Lots of fun stuff going on this fall season. We're still waiting for the rain. We haven't had rain in quite some time. And as a lot of you know, I'm in the landscape maintenance business, so I'm picking up a lot of leaves right now. And the good part of no rain is they're really light. And the bad part of no rain is they're really light, which means they're hard to corral. They're hard to pack into a sack or a barrel or whatever you happen to be trying to put them in. And so it's different every year, and I don't complain one way or the other, because it's always an adventure either way. But the burlap sacks that I use, and I throw them up on my head, I look like I'm carrying water across the savannah or something, but that's the way I learned to do it, and it works for me. But they're really super light, so it's been easier on my back and easier on my neck. But I'm having to make extra trips because those leaves just don't squish together. So looking at the forecast, it's more clouds coming, but they're still not really calling for much in the way of rain. So not sure what kind of, I've heard we're supposed to have a cold, wet winter, but haven't seen any evidence of that yet. So we'll keep watching out. So today we're gonna do something we do on occasion on the show. I'm gonna do a little news story roulette. I've got some news stories saved up that I haven't read all of them. I know quite a bit about some of the stories. I don't know too much about the others, but we'll just kind of pick them by random and see what we can find out. See what's going on in the news. What's important to the media is always interesting. I find that certain stories that I think are pertinent and more interesting get kind of ignored by most of the mainstream media, and other stories get pushed. And this week is a great week for that, because there's been all kinds of things going on in the national media, and so we'll hit some of those. I want to apologize for those of you listened to the show, or maybe you didn't listen to the show 2 weeks ago with Liberty Miller. We unfortunately lost that show to the internet demons, and so we don't have the replay of that. But fear not, I will likely get Liberty back in here one more time before she heads off to Alaska, and she's always a fun and interesting interview. So I would love to get her back in here before she goes back to her coffee shop in Alaska. But so let's take a look. The Chieftain Sports wrapped up in the last couple of weeks, and when I was on a couple weeks ago, we talked about volleyball. Finished with a 2-10 league record, and we won't go into that. I talked a little bit about them on the last show. Football finished their season with a 4-5 overall record, 2-2 in the league, and unfortunately that left them just outside of the playoffs in third place. They finished the season ranked 22nd in the state, and the two teams finishing ahead of them in the conference, Glide and Lost River, both finished with a 3-1 record. Glide gets the league title. They're ranked 11th in the state. Lost River ranked 12th in the state. Glide will be hosting Oakland tonight in the playoffs. And Lost River will travel to Toledo tomorrow for their playoff game. And we'll kind of keep an eye on that throughout the next couple of weeks. Boys soccer finished the season 5th in the conference with a 4-8 record. That was also their overall record. And they are finishing the season ranked 43rd in the state. Girls soccer finished with a 7-5-1 record overall, 2-5-1 in the conference. That gave them a fourth place finish in the conference and a 17th ranking in the state, which left them just outside of the playoffs, unfortunately. But it was a great year for the Lady Chieftains. Coach Rob Heilman was named Coach of the Year in the conference, so that was a great honor for Coach Heilman and for the Rogue River program. I don't have all of the other players that were named to the different teams. I'll try and compile that for next week's show. But I did see in the news that Rob Heilman was named Coach of the Year in the conference for the girls' soccer. And so that's how the Chieftain sports finished up. You know, something happened this week, and I have half the news, but not the whole news. And most of this you won't care about. I care about it because it involves me. But it brought up some interesting things that I've been thinking about. Another grandchild is on the way for me, and I know the gender, but I can't share the gender because there's going to be a gender reveal. I believe that's going to happen tomorrow, so I don't have to hold my tongue for too much longer. But it's an exciting thing, but what it made me think about, and I even had a little discussion with my wife about this. I wonder. She even asked me how am I going to react to this new grandchild? Am I going to love this new grandchild the same way we love our other two? This is going to sound strange. One in particular, in that one of my grandchildren is my daughter's offspring. The other one of my granddaughters is my son-in-law's daughter, which makes her our granddaughter. So don't get the wrong idea. I think of them equally as my granddaughters. But your firstborn grandchild, and you, at least for us, we had this special attachment. Now, we got to watch her quite a bit when she was really young. And so, you know, you get attached and you have all of these feelings, and you haven't had those kind of feelings since your own kids were born. Now, I never had these kinds of thoughts with my own kids on, are you going to love them the same? Are you going to feel the same as with the second one as you did the first one? I never really thought about it. I don't know if my wife did, but we definitely have been thinking about it with the grandkids. And of course, you know that you will. It'll be different. Each one is different, but you know that they're just, they mean so much to you, and they're, you know, they're gifts from God, and you know, you can never be disappointed or have ill feelings about a gift from God, and such as a child or a grandchild. But I found it interesting because we don't always think of those kinds of things. And I mean, I'm not much of a worrier. I don't worry about things I can't control. I try and deal with things as they come. I plan for things that I can plan for, but things that I don't control, I just don't. I don't generally get too excited about it. But I found it an interesting kind of thing to think about and to look at. And I genuinely don't think my wife was concerned about how she's going to feel about the next grandchild. But it is an interesting comparison to think, well, what are my feelings going to be like compared to how I feel about this first one? And again, we inherited one, so I actually have two granddaughters right now. And again, I'm keeping the secret of whether I'm getting a new grandson or granddaughter, but either way, they will be much loved and much wanted in this family. We're very happily awaiting their arrival. So just something to think about. You know, you don't get to think about that until you're a grandparent yourself. I mean, you can think about it as a parent, but I, I never really did. I never really thought about it until it came up this week, you know, in relation to my grandchildren. So it'll be fun. But come April, I think I have trouble keeping up with that stuff. But there should be April or May, I think we will be heralding the arrival of a new grandchild. So that'll be wonderful. And it made me think about that. Now, the other thing I got to thinking about was that this was a pretty eventful week. And one of the events I really can't, I'm not at liberty to mention on the air, so I'm going to keep it to myself. Sorry, not trying to tease you, but there is other things going on that I can't talk about. But it adds to this week that has just been kind of chaotic and crazy. And my mother-in-law went into the hospital and had to have surgery, and there were a lot of concerns with the surgery. But the biggest concern was that it, you know, there could be cancer, and she doesn't have cancer, and so that's obviously really, really great news. But it put some things into perspective for me, because my wife was ready to get on a plane and fly to Arizona and be there with her mother, because her mother needed her, and or, you know, she wanted to be there for her mother. And it's an interesting thing, when you see the way different people react to things like this, and I'm not going to get too specific about that, but it, in times of crisis, in times of need, you really start to see sometimes the character of people, although I don't always believe that it's their character that's being displayed, but definitely where their heart is, where their level of selfless versus selfishness is. And as much as I didn't want to see my mother-in-law go into the hospital, and in fact she's still in, probably gets out in the next day or so, but had to have surgery and all of that. But I got to see the selflessness of my wife, and I've known it was there. I mean, she shows that with me. You know, she routinely puts me first, and I'm not sure I'm worthy of that, but I do appreciate that. But it was interesting to me, because I've seen in other situations with other friends or family or whoever, you know, you see the ones that are willing to drop everything and step up for their family, and you see others that maybe not so much. And again, I won't apply what I perceive in some of those instances, because I don't know. I'm not in that person's shoes. But it's interesting to see the contrast, and I'm grateful that the one of the ones that seems to be the selfless one when people are in need, you know, happens to be someone I get to spend all of my days with. So found that interesting and sort of comforting in again what's been kind of a week of upheaval, some of it good, but some of it bad. But it's all change. It's all new things, and so it's never easy. Even positive change can definitely be, you know, something that wears on you. So, been kind of a crazy week, but I'm happy to be on the other side of at least that part of it, and I'll be happy when all of the leaves are down and I can exhale, both literally and figuratively. So we're going to take a break here. I'm going to dig up all of those news stories, and we'll see, you know, what's going on in the news when we get back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton has information about many relevant meetings and conversations related to Ukraine that House impeachment investigators have not yet heard testimony about. That's according to a letter that Bolton's attorney, Charles Cooper, sent Friday to the House that suggests Bolton would appear in the impeachment probe only if a court orders him to do so. Facebook says it's deleting the name of the person who's been identified in some conservative circles as the whistleblower who triggered a congressional impeachment inquiry into President Trump's actions. The company said Friday that mention of the potential whistleblower's name violates Facebook's, quote, coordinating harm policy, which prohibits material that could out a witness, informant, or activist. On Wall Street, the Dow by 6 points, the NASDAQ rose 40, the S&P advanced 9, crude oil up to $57.42 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
Back to Rogue Talk, and you can call the show today if you'd like. That number is 541-299-0498. That's 541-299-0498. Or you can email feedback at 943thebridge.com. Put Rogue Talk, two words, Rogue Talk, in the subject line. And you can also go on Facebook and find Rogue Talk on Facebook. I'd love if you'd go on there and like the page and follow along. I try and update the shows. I didn't post anything about today's show. There's no guest, so there's really no one to promote. And so I didn't really promote today's show, but I'll definitely be promoting next week's show this week because it's one of my favorite shows of the year. Next week, we will have some of the kids from the FFA program at Rogue River High School coming in next week, and I always look forward to that show. These are always some of the brightest and the most professional and friendliest guests that I get in the studio, and I always look forward to it. And so next week, that will be the show. So just looking at some of the headlines I was seeing, some of these are serious subjects, some of them not so much, but I find headlines interesting because they're trying to portray something, and it's not always what the story is, or it's at least it's not a good description of the story. And it's usually not because the person writing the headline is not a good writer or journalist. It may be in some cases, and maybe even in a lot of cases, they're not very good journalists, but usually they're trying to get your attention about something, the narrative they want to promote. So the story often starts with that narrative. And then when you dig down deep into the story, you kind of get to the actual facts. And sometimes the facts aren't convenient to the narrative, so they bury it deep in a story, and they make the headline, you know, sound the way they want it to sound. Now, sometimes they do it for clickbait. If it's a headline on a social media platform like Facebook or Twitter, they'll make it more, you know, eye-catching to be clickbait. But and again, these are kind of random stories, and so we're just going to kind of like a game of roulette, we're going to kind of spin through here and see what kind of things are going on. Now, one story that interests me, and I actually think I have a couple, two or three stories related to this, was the fact that it was revealed this week that ABC News had the Jeffrey Epstein story about 3 years ago, and the reporter had all kinds of things lined up to report, and you know she mentioned the Clintons, and she mentioned a lot of different facets of this story, and she was upset that the story got squashed by ABC at the time. And the reporter was Amy Robach. Now, the interesting thing is some of the podcasts and things that I listened to throughout the week, they were all talking about this story, and a couple of them kind of mischaracterized Amy Robach. They were calling her an investigative reporter, and I'm not saying she doesn't do some investigative reporting, because most reporters do, even anchors. Like, for instance, on the local news here, you know, the morning, a morning anchor, for instance, like, you know, Danielle Craig that we had on the show, she used to be a morning anchor. Well, when they're not anchoring in the morning, they're out doing stories out in the field oftentimes. And the national anchors are no different. So the Amy Robach is a frequent host on Good Morning America. And at times she's been a primary host. More recently, she's on there on and off, and she's doing more stories now and doing less of the hosting. And so anyhow, that Project Veritas had a leaked video of her complaining about not being able to run the Epstein story and being upset about it. And then, of course, when the video was leaked, ABC did its big mea culpa, and, you know, Amy Robach was forced to put out a statement and kind of, you know, almost take back what she had said in the video. And, you know, unfortunately, probably trying to protect her job at ABC, she had to say what she was told to say. And it's easy for me to say I'm not in that position, but my feeling about that is what's more important, your job or your integrity? And I can't say for her. Well, I can say for her, because clearly it was her job. But I can't speak to her motives and her, you know, what position she's in, as far as need and as far as those things go. So I'm not judging her in any way, but the question has to be asked, what's more important, your integrity or your job? And in her case, she chose her job. And again, there may be really legitimate reasons for that. And it may be just a matter of that, you know, her job's more important to her than her integrity. So I don't know, but there was a lot of stories going around. And one of the interesting ones, the staffer who leaked the story was, ABC figured out, or thought that they had figured out who it was that had leaked this story to Project Veritas. And they weren't working for ABC anymore. They were working for CBS. And CBS apparently has fired this individual on the advice of ABC, telling them that they're the leaker. Now, the reason I find this interesting, private companies can hire and fire whoever they want. I don't have any say about that unless I work for the company or own the company. I don't really, you know, I have an opinion, but I don't, it doesn't matter. They don't care what I think, and they shouldn't. It's up to them. They're private companies. They can do what they want. But the interesting angle to that particular story is that all week long, and actually for the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing about the so-called whistleblower in the Trump, let me get this straight now, which one are we on? We're now on Trump Ukraine, because I get confused whether it's Stormy Daniels or it's Russia or it's who knows what. In the last 3 years, we've just gone from one story to another, and when there's been hardly any smoke and definitely no fire, we move on to the next one. And I don't know who the arsonist is, but they're not very good at this, because they don't get these fires lit for very long. So we're told that the whistleblower from the Trump Ukraine story is untouchable. We don't need to know their name because they're protected by law, which is not true, but we'll get into that a little bit, but not too much. That, you know, they're a hero because they're, you know, showing the evil doings of our corrupt president. And so we, you know, whistleblowers have to be protected, and they're sacrosanct, and they're untouchable. Well, unless you're a whistleblower on the media, and then you get fired and you get outed and you get. So it's interesting because of the double standard. Here's the media that's been telling us for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, we can't know the name of the whistleblower. It'll put them in danger and this and that. And they lie about the law. When it comes to the Justice Department and whistleblowers within the executive branch, there are different whistleblower laws, but the one that applies to this whistleblower does not protect their identity other than from very certain people in the government. And it's really only one or two people in the government who are not allowed to disclose their name. Anyone else can disclose the name. They're not protected. Their anonymity is not protected by the whistleblower statute. The only thing that's protected is their job, so that they can't be fired for whistleblowing. Now, it's disputable whether this person even qualifies as a whistleblower because it wasn't their information. And the rules on that had magically been changed. And actually, that's not even true, because no one had actually changed the rules. You're not allowed to be a whistleblower with secondhand information. It has to be firsthand information for you to be a whistleblower. But the form that they fill out for a whistleblower report had been changed recently, just in time for this whistleblower with secondhand and thirdhand information to blow the whistle. And so they keep pushing this, the whistleblower law and blah, 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 and they mischaracterize it or flat out lie about it. But again, I find it interesting. They're so interested in protecting the whistleblower, except for the one that blows the whistle on their corrupt activities, hiding one of the most important stories about, you know, corruption and pedophilia and whatever else you want to, you know, tie to that story. But, you know, I guess when the Clintons are involved, you want to be real careful. And so to kind of tie that one up, I had kind of a fun headline here. I don't know how many of you know who the Babylon Bee is, but if you know who the Onion is, the Babylon Bee is another version of the Onion, maybe definitely more conservative in their take on things, but they'll take shots at both sides. They're not completely, you know, one-sided in their satire. But if you don't know who the Onion is, it's a satire site. They do fake stories that are based on real stories, and they sort of take the worst part of something or the most interesting part of something, and they do a fake story that focuses on that. And so this was their headline related to this. It says, ABC asks viewers to send in evidence of Epstein so they can destroy it and then murder you. It's ridiculous, but it touches on a few parts of this story that are true. The fact that ABC buried the story 3 years ago, and the fact that people that crossed the Clintons seem to come up, well, they commit suicide a lot, let's put it that way. And so, you know, we don't want to die a tragic death, so we just don't cross the Clintons. So that was a kind of an interesting one. So let's scroll through and see what else has been going on. Let's pick something a little lighter. And this is one where I look at the headline and I think, okay, this is interesting. And then you dig in a little deeper and you go, this might be just a little bit overblown, a little bit hyperbolic. So this comes from ABC 7 News in the Bay Area. And it says, fresh off the boat, canceled after six seasons. And I thought, well, that's interesting because I watched the first season or so of that and then kind of lost interest in it. It's a typical sitcom of today. A lot of it is very corny and they exaggerate certain circumstances to make it funnier. And it's sort of a pretty run-of-the-mill sitcom. But I was reading into the story a little bit, and there was a quote in there, and I'm trying to see who I can attribute it to, and so ABC Entertainment president Carrie Burke, and the quote was, "We couldn't be prouder of this game-changing show and the impact it had on our cultural landscape," said Burke. "The success of Fresh Off the Boat has helped pave the way for inclusion throughout the industry." And I just had to laugh. I understand there hasn't been a lot of sitcoms related to various parts of the Asian culture or the Asian community. And so in that respect, I mean, what is being said there is not completely ridiculous, but if you haven't seen this show, it's very typical of a sitcom that's based around a certain race or a certain ethnicity or a certain religion. And what I mean by that is, much in the way Black-ish is, which happens to also be on ABC, what they've done is, now again, I'm not completely taking away from the motive of being more inclusive and, you know, showing more parts of our society, because they definitely do that with these shows. I'm not taking that part away, but I think the impact may be a little overblown, and here's what I mean by that. What they do with these shows is it allows them to make jokes that they couldn't make if it was, let's say, Roseanne's show, which is now called The Conners, because, well, it doesn't include Roseanne anymore, because you're not allowed to say things. Now, she tweeted something that was offensive. Now, I think there's a bit of a double standard on who can get away with saying something offensive as a comedian and who can't. But having said that, again, ABC can make their own choices. They can fire Roseanne. And what she said was not good. I'm not defending her. But because their show was primarily Midwestern white people, I hate to say it that way because I don't care about these things, but unfortunately a lot of people do, especially people in media and in entertainment, they wouldn't be allowed to make the same kinds of jokes that they can make on Fresh Off the Boat or Black-ish or one of the other shows. Now, a show like The Conners, to go back to that for a second, they had added some gay characters and some other, you know, things that we hear a lot about in our culture today. And so they were able to kind of explore some of those avenues and get away with it because, well, you know, we're just exploring our character, you know, this character. And so they do that with these ethnic shows. They can make jokes. They can make some of the, you know, super cliche jokes about whether it be Asians or Blacks or whatever, Latinos, depending on what show it is. And they get away with it because, well, in the case of Fresh Off the Boat, it's a cast of Asian Americans that are playing a role that is focusing on their ethnicity. So, again, I'm not taking away from the cultural influence that shows like this have, because clearly they have some influence, but really it's just a formula for them to push the envelope and to be able to make jokes that they want to make based on who's telling them. There's a lot of African-American slash black jokes made on the show Black-ish, and they can get away with it because it's primarily an African-American cast. It's about an African-American family. And so it, again, they write these stories and they're basically patting themselves on the back. If it's so impactful and such a great show, then why is it being canceled? Because nobody's watching it. It's not good. So, you know, impactful is great, but we want to be entertained, and the show is no longer entertaining, so you canceled it. So I just love these stories where they're praising how wonderful it was, but we're getting rid of it because, you know, it's not so good. So let's move to the next one that I saw, and this one is another one I find just a little bit ridiculous. The rewriting and re-recording of the song Baby It's Cold Outside. Now we've all heard this song. You hear it a lot around Christmas time, and it for some reason in the last year or so, the woke crowd has decided that this song is about date rape. Now, I don't like to use that word. I hate that word, but it's hard to say date sexual assault. It just doesn't sound right. We know what it means. But I mean, that is the most cynical way you can interpret that song. I mean, yes, in the song, he's trying to woo the girl to stay with him, and she's trying to talk herself out of it. She has every intention of staying, and she's doing her best to talk herself out of staying. But it's clear in the song she wants to stay. She knows she shouldn't, and he knows she shouldn't. But he really wants her to stay. It's not completely innocent in that respect. I mean, yes, he's trying to get her to stay, and we know what might happen if she stays. But it to take it to the level to where it's now being rewritten with the Me Too version, it was rewritten and re-released by Kelly Clarkson and John Legend, and it's just ridiculous. At some point, you know how they keep adding words to the dictionary? If they haven't already, when they add the word woke to the dictionary, the definition's going to sound something like this: a temporary feeling of doing the right thing until someone is more woke and decides you're not woke enough, and then you're just stupid. Because that's what this is. They literally rewrote the song where he's encouraging her to call an Uber and go home, and it's so devoid of any kind of reality. It's just ridiculous. Would we all like to live in a world where nothing happened? You know, where we all lived by the Ten Commandments, and we all live by the teachings of Christ? Of course we would. Most of us would, anyhow. We would love to live in that world. But we also, as Christians, live in the world that we know we're all sinners. We're all flawed. We're only saved by the grace of God and not by our actions, because we'll never measure up to Christ. We can't. He was perfect, and we're not, and we won't be. So we have to live in some sort of reality. And I was going to get into some of the lyrics, but it's just too ridiculous. I'm not going to waste any time on that. But I just don't understand it. I don't know why we think some of this is so important. And so I'm scrolled through, pick one here at random. And these ones are always fun. And I love when they'll push a story. This one happens to be, it's related to the Washington Post. The story that, or at least the version of the story I'm looking at, is from the Daily Wire. And it says, the Washington Post pushes the gender wage gap. Turns out it has a wage gap of its own. Now, no big surprise here. We've heard this a zillion times. Every other politician that spouts on about the gender wage gap, you look into what their staffers are paid and you realize most of them have a gigantic gender wage gap. They're probably not aware of it until they've, you know, sort of stepped in it. But it's as ridiculous for people to push this idea without looking at themselves. What's the saying about the from the Bible? I mess these up. If I'm going to make biblical references, I should probably bring Pastor Gigline on the show with me so he can correct me. But take the before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the beam out of your eye. And there's different translations, so the wording can be different. But the idea is, you know, here's, you know, the Washington Post going, you know, oh, the gender wage gap and how horrible it is. Meanwhile, they have their own gender wage gap. And when the wokest of the woke, the Washington Post in this case, also has a gender wage gap, maybe that points to the fact that there's more to this gender wage gap idea than just, oh, every corporation in the world or in the country is discriminating against women. That's got to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There are probably instances, in fact, I'm sure there are instances, where men are in charge and women are excluded because they're women, or maybe not even because they're women, but because they're not men. And I know that sounds like a distinction, or, you know, a difference without a distinction, but there is a little difference there, because some of these corporations or companies, even if it's a small company in your town, they can have these old boys club. Now, some of those have been replaced in some cases by women's clubs. I know some places where people I know work where they're mostly women, and it's not like teaching where they, you know, women gravitate more toward teaching, which is, again, it's part of the reason for the gender wage gap, is the types of jobs that women and men, you know, gravitate toward. But it's in the case I'm thinking of, which I'm not going to get specific on, it's not so much, at least in my estimation, it's not so much because women gravitate to this particular job, because it doesn't really fit the makeup of the kind of jobs that women gravitate to. However, there's companies and even industries where a lot or most of the management is women, and they hire more women. And I don't think they do it purposefully. I don't think they're discriminating on purpose. But remember, discrimination is not always a bad thing. I discriminate if I was hiring someone. I discriminate against them in all kinds of ways. If they seem like someone that's going to be lazy, I'm going to discriminate against them. I don't want lazy people on my crew. I want people that work hard. If I think they're going to be someone that's going to be late to work, or they're going to take a lot of days off, you know, based on maybe in their resume, I talked to some of their previous employers, and I was told that this person, you know, misses a lot of work and whatever, well, then I'm probably going to discriminate against them. That discrimination is not always a bad word. It can be, depending on what you're discriminating for. But I don't apply any sort of nefarious discrimination to these women. They just are more comfortable with women in the roles that they're hiring for. And so you get certain industries or certain companies where you get a lot of women and not a lot of men. And now, again, is it the other way around more often? Yeah, it probably is. We're a patriarchal culture. We have been for, well, the entire history of our country, and really for many years before, you know, our country, we've been a patriarchal society. So it's not surprising that those situations are there. Some of them are completely not nefarious, and sometimes they are. But overall, I don't believe that this whole country or this whole world is discriminatory in any, you know, proactive way. So, and again, when you dig into the numbers, you see that when you take other things into account, the number that they used to like to push was, it was like 73% on the dollar or 72 cents on the dollar or something like that. And when you really dig down and look at, compare job to job, and you compare industry to industry, you see that, you know, women are mothers, so they often take leaves of absence to have the kids. In some cases, they'll take years off to raise their kids before they go back into the workforce. So there's a lot of things that go into those raw number. The raw number is, you know, 72 or 73 cents on the dollar. But when you really dig into it, it most of it goes away. And again, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be vigilant about any cases of discrimination, whether it's gender or race or, you know, nepotism or whatever it is. You know, obviously we pay attention to those things, but I just find it interesting when you get one of these stories and you get it from the woke media like the Washington Post, and then you look at them and you realize that, yeah, you're not doing any better than the people you're reporting on. So that was kind of an interesting one. And now I talked a little bit about the Trump, what was it again? Trump, which one are we on? Trump, Russia? No, Trump, Stormy Daniels. No, we're not on that one. So anyhow, Ukraine, Trump, Ukraine. And excuse me, another one of the stories that came out in we were talking about the whistleblower and whether or not he or she had to remain anonymous and all those things. Well, it turns out that the Democrats may not have cared about keeping the whistleblower anonymous as much as they had said, or at least they were incompetent enough to not keep the name secret, because apparently the whistleblower's name appeared in one of the transcripts that the Democrats released from all of their little backdoor hearings they've been having. And so don't know if it was an accident or if they just didn't care, because, you know, for weeks we were told we have to hear from the whistleblower, that we've got to, you know, we're going to do it behind closed doors so that nobody can see it, but we have to hear from them. And this is so important that we hear from the whistleblower. And then when we found out that the whistleblower had previously contacted Adam Schiff's office and maybe had coordinated with his office, you know, colluded with Adam Schiff's office, suddenly when the witnesses that were being questioned behind closed doors, when they were being questioned by the Republicans, suddenly Adam Schiff became their lawyer and told them they didn't have to answer certain questions, that we were getting too close to the identity of the whistleblower and you weren't allowed to answer those questions. Well, what we were actually getting too close to was the fact that Adam Schiff colluded with the whistleblower. Now, remember, collusion is not a crime, but it is a little bit ironic in this case when you're when you've spent 3 years telling us that Trump colluded with Russia.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump said Friday that he hasn't agreed to remove any of the tariffs that he's placed on imports in China as the world's biggest economies struggle to negotiate an end to their ongoing trade war. The pushback by the president suggests that negotiations haven't progressed as far as hoped. A lawyer for John Bolton says the former Trump administration national security advisor was, quote, part of many relevant meetings and conversations, unquote, relevant to the House impeachment inquiry that are not yet public. Charles Cooper made the revelation in a letter that suggests Bolton will appear before Congress only if a judge orders him to do so. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 6 points to 27,681. The NASDAQ rose 40. The S&P advanced 8. Oil up 27 cents to $57.42 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Back to Rogue Talk, and if you don't think the government is monitoring all of the airwaves, that last break might prove otherwise. I think Adam Schiff cut me off there at the end of that break. He didn't like me reporting his collusion. But anyhow, to get back to that story, it turns out that they may have had a little bit of a boo-boo, or maybe a purposeful boo-boo, when they may have outed the whistleblower in one of their release transcripts. So I found that interesting, but not surprising. Our government tends to be more incompetent than not, and so no big surprise from that. So another story I saw here, and again, I'm gonna comment on this before we run out of time, but I'm gonna comment only on the headline. I actually haven't read the story. I saved it, and I do actually plan on reading it because I'm interested to see what exactly they're talking about. But if you go by just the headline, and again, as I mentioned, people write headlines for very specific reasons, and the headline, this is from The Atlantic. The headline is, "Stop trying to raise successful kids." And then the subtext is, "And start raising kind ones." And my first thought on this was, that is the stupidest thing I've ever read. Not because it's a bad idea to raise kind kids. I think that's a wonderful idea. But most of us have been trying to do that anyhow. And the two are not mutually exclusive. Can't you raise successful kids that are also kind? I don't know. That seems like a novel concept. And again, to be fair, I have not read the story yet. I'm just commenting on the headline because, again, the headlines are important. And I just found it interesting. It's like, I think we can do both. In fact, I think most of us are already trying to do both. I want my kids to be kind, but I also want them to be successful. So, and they may come to the same conclusion in the article. Again, it is one I've saved. I want to read, but today was kind of diving into the headlines more than you know the whole thing. So maybe look that one up on the Atlantic and see what you think. I'm going to read it and see what I think. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. But everybody be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.